For our message this morning, our Mother's Day message, I'm going to invite you to turn to Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7. We are going to read about one of the miracles of the Lord Jesus. It is a miracle that is found in Luke chapter 7, verse 11. And we're going to read this section for two reasons. One, it reminds us of the compassion of the Lord Jesus Christ. It reminds us of his ability to do the unexpected and the impossible. So let's follow carefully together. Luke chapter 7, verse 11. Now it happened the day after that he went into a city called Nain, and many of his disciples went with him, and a large crowd. And when he came near the gate of the city, behold, a dead man was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And a large crowd from the city was with her. When the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her, and said to her, "Do not weep." Then he came and touched the open coffin, and those who carried him stood still. And he said, "Young man, I say to you, arise." And he who was dead sat up and began to speak. And he presented him to his mother. Then fear came upon all, and they glorified God, saying, "A great prophet has risen up amongst us, and God has visited his people." And this report about him went throughout all Judea and all the surrounding region. Let's ask God to open his word to us. Our God and our Father, we thank you for your precious word. We just pray that you will open our hearts this morning, that you will help us to receive those things that you would say to us. We are assured from your word that is living, that it is powerful. May it not be dull and uninteresting to us this morning, but may its power transform and change our lives. We pray that our Savior may be glorified. We pray that if there be any who do not know him as a Savior this morning, that their hearts may be open to receive him. And we pray this prayer not only for ourselves, but for the thousands of places around the world and in this country where your word is opened and Jesus is presented. We ask it for his glory and in his name. Amen. This miracle likely took place rather early in the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. We find in the opening verse of chapter 7 that after he had finished teaching the people, he went to a place called Capernaum. And the next day, in verse 11, says that he left Capernaum and he journeyed towards a small village, the village of Nain, which was possibly about 25 miles to the southwest of this city of Capernaum. Now, Luke is writing this gospel, and he is writing with method. He's careful about what he tells us. He's careful to set up the environment of this story, and he tells us that as Jesus is traveling along, he has his disciples with him and a large crowd as well. Now, we're not sure exactly how many are in this crowd, but it was certainly enough that Luke makes a point of telling us this. And as they travel to this city and approach the city of Nain, they meet another large crowd coming out of the city. This is a crowd that is on their way to the cemetery. It's a crowd that has been gathered in sympathy with a widow woman who has lost her only son. And we know from the way in which the Lord Jesus addresses him that he was a young man. This crowd would have been carrying on their shoulders, as was customary at that time, an open wicker coffin with the body of this young man. And verse 13 tells us that when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her. It's wonderful to be reminded of the compassion of the Lord Jesus. If you read a book about the 10 traits of the most successful people, you're going to find that being compassionate is not high on the list. We don't think that's all that important today. In fact, I'm not even sure if you'd find it on the list at all. But it is wonderful to our hearts this morning that when God reveals his character to us perfectly in his Son, he tells us over and over again, he is a compassionate God. Now, when you meet David in heaven or one of the Old Testament saints in heaven and you shake hands with David and say to David, David, did you know God was compassionate? He'd say, of course I knew that. Didn't you read some of my Psalms? And if you met Moses and said, did you know God was compassionate? Moses would say, of course I knew that. It's not that in the Old Testament God didn't reveal his compassion towards men and women. He reminds them of that. But in the New Testament, it is seen perfectly and beautifully in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. There is something different when you see the character of God expressed in the beauty and perfection of the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. There are 8 times in the Gospels where the Bible tells us Jesus was moved with compassion. I love that. I love the fact this morning that the Savior that God presents to us, the incarnate Son of God, is compassionate because I need it, and so do you. The Lord Jesus saw the deep sorrow and anguish of this woman, and he had compassion. The Bible tells us that this woman was weeping. Her friends had been there to console her and offer her sympathy. But there was no consoling this woman, for everything that she had put her hopes on, her only son had died and was being carried out to be buried. Can you imagine the anguish in the heart of this mother as she wept over the loss of her son? What does it mean to a parent to bury their child? What does that mean? I think it can only be known by those who have done it. The depth of the feeling in the heart of this woman, the desperateness, the hopelessness of her situation. She was weeping. There was no way to console her. Her sense of loss and bereavement was very, very deep. It says that Jesus, in fact, it says, when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her. It may be that our experience with, or your experience with your children this morning is not exactly like this woman. But I can tell you there is not a parent here with grown children who has not wept over them and yearned over them. It's wonderful to my heart to be reminded that Jesus knows that. And he understands that. And he has compassion upon us. Dear mother, dear father, you may actually find yourself in a situation like that this morning. You may be weeping and yearning over a child that is pursuing a pathway that is going to lead to ruin and loss. And it may be that in this morning you're here with a sense of great sorrow at what is going on in your family. And a sense maybe that no one really understands it, nor can you really share that. You know, there are things in our lives that are so deep, they just can't be shared. We're certainly not shared with very many. The great comfort we have this morning is that Jesus knows, Jesus understands, and he has compassion. We are part of a suffering humanity. The Apostle Paul, when he wrote to the Romans, he says, the whole creation groans together and travails in pain together until now. Do you know that under the veneer of a culture of success in America, just under that veneer are people who are hurting deeply, with difficulties, deep difficulties in marriages, difficulties in families, difficulties with children. The comfort of this message in Luke 7 is that Jesus has compassion on us. He knows that. He understands that. It is an essential part of God's plan in the gospel that if the lives of men and women that have been so devastated by sin and death are to be reached and redeemed for himself, it is an essential part of his plan that his son should come into humanity that he may know and understand our exact circumstances, that he might demonstrate to us the compassion of God. The writer to the book of Hebrews puts it this way. Listen carefully. He says, we do not have a high priest who is not able to sympathize with us in our infirmities. You catch that? There are two knots there. Two negatives make a positive. Let's turn that around. We do have a high priest. We do have a Savior this morning who is able to sympathize with us in all of our infirmities. Whatever the difficulty and trouble we might have, we have this assurance that Jesus knows and understands. This is an essential part of the gospel, that God presents a Savior to men and women, and he says to a hurting, suffering humanity, he says, I know, I understand, and I have an answer. And the answer is in my son. It's a most comforting thing to our hearts this morning that Jesus is a compassionate Savior. Jesus is one who knows. He understands. But you know, the story that Luke gives us doesn't end just with the fact that Jesus knows and understands. The story of Luke 7 would be entirely different if it all ended in the middle of verse 13, when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her. What if the story ended there? It doesn't end there. I know you know it doesn't, but let the joy of it just touch your hearts this morning, that the story doesn't end with a Savior who has compassion. It's wonderful that he does. But the story goes on to tell us about a Savior who can do the impossible, who can do the unexpected, because this story takes an unexpected turn. We know the story so well, we lose it. Notice this. It says that when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her, and he said to her, do not weep. My dear fellow hearer, dear mother, dear father, those would be the most empty words that could have ever been said to that woman. if what Jesus was about to do, he could not do. How empty to say to a woman who had lost everything, whose only son had died, to say to her, don't weep. But these were not empty words. Notice how the story takes this unexpected turn. Notice what Jesus does next. It says that he came and touched the open coffin. And it says, and those who carried him stood still. Some of the translations say that those who carried the coffin immediately stood still. What is it that Jesus had done? He had touched a dead body. Imagine the shock already in that crowd. What is going on? What is this man doing? How is it that his touching of a dead body could make the situation any better? You can imagine the shock in the crowd, for they knew that to do that was to violate the law of Moses, the law that God had given through Moses. And that is that someone who touched a dead body became unclean. And what had happened at this time was that the rabbinical laws had made such an action the most terrible ceremonial uncleanness that you could imagine. So here the Lord Jesus is now touching. It says he touched, and I like the way Luke says he touched the open coffin. He touched it. Numbers 19, verse 11 tells us, he who touches the dead body of anyone shall be unclean 7 days. How could this action make this terrible situation any better? Verse 14, and he said, young man, I say to you, arise. And he who was dead sat up and began to speak, and he presented him to his mother. No one expected this to happen. Not even his disciples. For there's no record that the Lord Jesus up to this point had ever demonstrated his power to raise the dead. According to the gospel records, this is the first time this had happened. Life out of death? Not possible. Not possible. Jesus did the unexpected and he did the impossible. He had demonstrated his authority over death itself. When the Lord Jesus touched that open coffin, he was not disregarding the law that God had given to Moses. In fact, he makes clear in his ministry that he had come to fulfill the law. He had come to make it honorable. He had come to show what in fact God intended by the law. This miracle in raising this young man from the dead was anticipating the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ himself would go into death. That the claim of death on this young man because of his sins, that claim would be borne by Jesus on Calvary's cross. He was demonstrating that he had power to raise the dead because he himself would come out of death triumphantly. So this was no casual disregard of the law of Moses. It was an evidence of God's power to intervene in a sorrowing humanity where death brings such desolation and heartache. The Lord Jesus Christ, in perfect obedience to his Father's will, was on his way to Calvary's cross. The disciples didn't understand that yet. But this was God's eternal plan of redemption, and Jesus knew that. The cross was no surprise to our Savior. He came into this world knowing full well what lay before him. And in willing love to men and women, he, in perfect obedience to his Father, went to the cross and bore the judgment for our sins there that we deserved. And he exhausted God's judgment for sin, and he went into death, and he came out of it triumphant. And he touches this bier. He touches this coffin in the light of what he's about to do. How wonderful to know this morning that our Savior is not only a compassionate Savior, but he's a Savior that can do the impossible. He's a Savior that can do the unexpected. What do you think he cannot do in your life? I'm here to tell you he can do it. I love to think of what Jesus has done in my life and in the lives of our family. We praise him for it. Jesus is able to meet our needs. It's very interesting that Luke now turns in the story. Says, and he who was dead sat up and began to speak, and he presented him to his mother. Verse 16, then fear came upon all, and they glorified God, saying, a great prophet has risen among us. You notice that something is missing. There is no description of the unspeakable joy of the mother or the son in being reunited. It's not there. Now, Luke doesn't leave anything out by chance. He is writing with method under the inspiration of the Spirit of God, and he doesn't tell us, does he? He doesn't tell us of the joy of the mother in receiving her son back from the dead in her arms. The unspeakable joy of that relationship, having been reunited with her son. Luke leaves it out. Luke says, as it were, dear reader, you fill that part in. You fill it in. For whatever adjective you want to use to think about the joy of the mother and the son, it applies. It applies. The wonderful things that God had done in the life of this woman and her son. We aren't told about that. But we are told very definitely about the impact of this wonderful miracle on those that were around. And you can't help but get the message this morning that Luke says, dear reader, as you have read my inspired record of this miracle of the Lord Jesus Christ, what has been the reaction in your life? What's the reaction in my life? Notice it says, and then fear came upon all, and they glorified God, saying, a great prophet has risen up among us, and God has visited his people. And this report about him went throughout all Judea and all the surrounding region. Are we rejoicing this morning because our Savior is a compassionate Savior? I hope so. I hope that our hearts just leap for joy to know that Jesus knows and understands the deepest feelings that we have, our deepest emotions. He understands them. The writer to the book of Hebrews says that we can approach the throne of God himself with boldness. Why do we approach with boldness? Because we understand that our Savior, our great high priest, is there. He understands us. I think there is a hymn that says, no one understands me like Jesus. I take great comfort in that. when we don't really even understand ourselves. We come into the presence of one who knows everything about us. He knows the deepest thoughts and intents of our hearts. How do you do figuring out what your intentions are? How do you do with that? I don't do very well. I find that when I look in my heart, I find a lot of confusion and difficulty, and even understanding what makes me tick. No less hoping my wife knows what makes me tick. But I come to a Savior who knows me. He knows me through and through. He sees to the depths of my heart in a way that I don't even see them myself. And my dear mother and dear father, dear hearer, that one is compassionate. He does not deal with me in an accusing way. He says, I know and I understand. But not only that, this compassionate Savior is a Savior who can do the unexpected. He can do the things in my life I never thought He could do. He can do the things in the life of my family that I never thought He could do. He can do the impossible. Do you rejoice in that this morning? Can you imagine, if you'll allow this just for a moment, what a Mother's Day this was for this widow? Can you imagine her joy as that funeral procession turns right around and heads back into Nain? Can you imagine the Mother's Day lunch they had when they got back? What Jesus had done. He had done what they didn't expect. Dear mother, dear father, the Savior will do that for us. Do we rejoice in that this morning? Do we rejoice that Jesus can do that which is impossible? Is our faith strengthened this morning as we read this story? I hope it is. I hope yours is. Mine is. And do we have the assurance and faith of our hearts this morning that Jesus has broken the power of death? That day is coming when our loved ones who have been separated from us by death itself, we will be reunited with them. We often find great comfort in those words of the Apostle Paul, don't we? Those words that he wrote to those Thessalonian believers, he says that the Lord Jesus Christ himself will descend from heaven with the voice of archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first, and we the living who remain shall be caught up together with them in the air, and thus we will always be with the Lord. So encourage one another with these words. Our Savior knows us. He understands us. The compassion of His heart is more wonderful than anything we can imagine. But our Savior also is a powerful Savior. He's a Savior that can do the unexpected and the impossible in our lives and in the lives of our families. And He is the Savior that will one day bring us safe home to glory, where every vestige of death will be forever removed and all tears will be removed. And thus we shall be forever with the Lord. My dear friend, do you know that Savior this morning? Do you say in your heart, yes, Jesus is my Savior. He died for me, and He was buried for me, and He was raised for me. That's the Savior I know. Well, we trust this morning that that will be the language of your heart. A compassionate Savior. A Savior that has power over death itself. You and I will one day be brought safe home to glory. I love that thought. Our God and our Father, we thank You for such a glorious Savior. We thank You that He paid that ultimate price for us. Encourage our hearts, our God, we pray, with this word this morning. And we pray especially for the mothers and grandmothers and spiritual mothers that are here. Those that have yearned over us, we thank you for them. Our God and our Father, we praise you for them. We pray that their hearts may be especially encouraged. Dismiss us with your blessing, we pray, in the precious and worthy name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.